Blog Talk Radio.
Body of Christ celebrate the passion
of Jesus Christ, his suffering, his death, his burial, and his triumphant resurrection. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. And we'd like for everyone to celebrate with the Lord. This is celebration time for the body of Christ, because we are the only faith that has a risen Lord, a risen Savior. We are the only one. Confucius isn't here. Buddha isn't here. And none of the rest of them are either. But Jesus Christ ever lives. And he lives to save souls. Amen? He died for our lives. And we are so grateful to him. We are so grateful that we barely have words sometimes to fully express what we actually perceive and feel within. God loves us, saints. No matter where we are in our walk with him, he loves us. And he gave himself for us. He laid down his life for us. Surely, we can humble ourselves before him and do those things that he calls us to do. Amen? Amen. And a special welcome to all of our first-time listeners. We are a Christian internet church, and we meet on the internet every Wednesday evening and Friday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, in the United States of America, and wherever you happen to be. Amen? And we also meet on Sundays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time as Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. Amen. And we invite you to join us as often as you can. Bring your friends, your enemies, your BFFs, your in-laws, your outlaws, your neighbors, those that are far away, and invite everyone. Amen? Because everyone needs to know that God loves them. Everyone needs to know of his saving grace. Everyone needs to receive salvation and his healing and delivering. Everyone needs to know Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, we want to thank all of you that are here tonight. We know that there are some people that are busy making preparations for Sunday, but we hope that as they are making preparations that they'll be listening, and at a more convenient time they can recast the entire broadcast. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. You know, saints, as we continue on with the Lord, there are things that the Lord wants to refine in our lives. There are places that he sees that we're missing it still, and he wants to bring attention to those areas that so that we will come to him and ask him for the help that we need. You see, he wants us to overcome. He wants us to be victorious in every area of our lives. And sometimes it's the small foxes that are spoiling our vine. And sometimes it's the more serious issue. Nonetheless, the Lord is desirous of his people coming to him that he might be the help that we need to overcome. Amen? And having said all that, I want to thank you for participating in the fast and in the prayer meeting toward the end of the fast. I want to thank you for your continued patience in the ministry at whatever level you're able to participate. And I'm certain that the Lord is very insistent, that's a good word, on how we develop in this ministry. You see, the Lord is developing. He's making. He's pruning. He's growing a people. He's growing a people in us. And with this people, with this group that he's growing here, he has great plans. However, we have to grow the right way. He's not going to do as some people do. They stick a plant in the ground and they walk off and leave it and never come back. And they expect it to look gorgeous. That's not our Lord. He's going to pay special attention to the plant, how it grows, whether it needs extra support, whether it needs extra fertilizer or pruning or whatever it needs. He's watching over us intently because he wants us without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Amen? And so sometimes it gets a little uncomfortable when God is working on us. But I want to encourage everyone to hang in there during those uncomfortable times because God knows what he is doing. Our Heavenly Father knows what he's doing. The Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. He knows how to get us in just the right place. He knows how to get us to be strong Christians because we face a wicked world. He knows how to make us what we ought to be. Amen? Amen. So, I want to encourage everyone, excuse me, to remember that. Yes, there are going to be times that it's going to be difficult. There are going to be times that it's uncomfortable. However, God knows how to mold. He knows how to shape. He knows how to develop. He knows where the weak places are. Excuse me. We need to stick with him. We need to humbly obey him. Because when we do, toward later on in the journey, you get a flash of what he's done, and you realize where you used to be, but where you've grown to. God's developing something in each of us and in us as a group and in us as a ministry. And he wants to use us the way he has planned. And he wants to be able to put us on display. So there are times in training. You know, in those professional teams, they have to work hard. They have to work hard at practice. They have a lot of practices. Practices aren't comfortable, require a lot of you. You have to give a lot of yourself. But all those practices they go to and all that training they endure and all of that disciplining that has to be brought out of them, it's worth it in the end when they win the trophy, now isn't it? Well, the same is true here. If you want to be a trophy for Jesus, then you have to endure the disciplining. Amen? And you have to develop the right attitude and the right spirit about it. Amen? So God is working on us. Let us be patient with him as he works on us. Amen? Amen. That's a better attitude. Amen. And, Father, we want to thank you for that those words of correction and those words of encouragement. And that explanation, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we lift up to you one who's 22 weeks pregnant. Break it in Jesus' name. We bind preeclampsia, rukashita, yurukoha rekise de rabrikede, and all other rukasite debri, either ailments, afflictions, diseases, or ruki arlele de ustotorora, and infirmities that attack, or rukata rabrik when it gets closer and closer to the birth time. Rusha, rugusate ibrisha kia siete rabrik. We take authority, dominion, and power over the attack in the name of Jesus. We break your grip and hold, Satan. We break your grip and hold over the mother and over the fetus in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you to bring this to the attention of those whose attention it ought to be. We ask, Lord, that you give them wisdom to know what to do the right thing. We ask you, Father, for your direct intervention in Jesus' name. We ask for your direct intervention, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, if that cord is all twisted up the wrong way, we ask that you straighten it out. We command that blood pressure to go back down in Jesus' name. Break it in Jesus' name. We remit the sins of the mother and the ancestors in Jesus' name. Lord, reach in and touch that child. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for you attending to the mother and to the child. Oh, hallelujah. The blood of Jesus. We soak them both in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Well, saints, since we started to pray, let's continue. Amen. Let us continue in Jesus' name. Lord, we know that you will fulfill the desire of them that fear you, that you will hear our cry and you will save us. We thank you, Lord, that you are teaching us to do your will, because you are our God and your spirit is good. And we ask, Father, that you lead us into the land of uprightness. We thank you for the armor of God. We thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding. We thank you that God, that your peace, Father, keeps our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that you so generously made for us, Lord, we are not so deserving of such a place near you. But in your love and care for us, Lord, you have given us a position seated in heavenly places with you. We honor you, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you for not only coming to earth, dying for us, but leaving us an example that we can follow, because you are truly the example that we need in this life. If we look around us, Father, we see everything but examples of your love everywhere. But when we look at you, we see how everyone ought to be, how everyone ought to love his neighbor, how everyone ought to reverence you. So, Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused on the good, focused on you, focused on your word. so that we won't be distracted by wickedness all around us. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We bind Satan, the strong man, and all of his evil angels, all evil spirits, all demonic agents, and all of his underlings. And we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. And we come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We close and seal all portals, all channels, all open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones, and we bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and the workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks unto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, all reporting, watchers, peepers, whispers, familiar demons, all technology demons, Leviathan spirits, Kundalini spirits, water and marine spirits, all sex devils, unclean spirits, passive devils, sorcery devils, seducing, womanizing, drone, whoredom spirits, all the voices of the stranger, all hypnotic and trance devils, and all of their attacks. We bind you in Jesus' name. We bind all mystic rituals and their intent. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts, Egyptian magic, Chaldean magic, Hindu and Indian practices, and African voodoo in Jesus' name. We bind all Morgellons attacks and return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in the American culture. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog. We bind the lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all satanic ritual abuse demons. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits. We bind Mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order and the New Age movement, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, the spirit and the children of disobedience, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Jezebelic practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos, and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, clairvoyance, premonition, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, out-of-body experience, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. In Jesus' name, we bind it all, and we bind the king of pride in Jesus' name. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, and soulish sacrifices. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, unfaithfulness, and temptation to sin. We bind betrayal in Jesus' name. We bind Baal, Beelzebub, Belial, Mammon, Apollyon, Zeus, Neptune, Baphomet, and the 72, Python, Baselech, Molech, and we chain you with eternal chains unto darkness. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots, and return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that's familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind pride and the foolishness of our own opinions, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them in Jesus' name. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassments, and witchcraft back on their own heads as well as their mind control in Jesus' name. According to 2 Thessalonians 1:6, we bind the spirit of slumber in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. Lord, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we have come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief, and whom we serve and obey. And, Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for kings and all who are in authority and all true Christians everywhere, especially those that are imprisoned in Jesus' name. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us power and authority. So we pull out all fiery darts, pins, needles, spears, voodoo, and we break the power of all witchcraft and curses in Jesus' name, and we return it from where it came. We circumcise from ourselves with the sword of the Spirit all ungodly soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, oaths, consents, garlands, vows, pledges, pacts, and every form of agreement with the demonic realm. We break the power and we bind the works of every witch, warlock, wizard, Satanist, shaman, sorcerer, and the like. We break the power of curses, hexes, vexes, love spells, spells of any kind, charms, fetishes, all psychic prayers, psychic warfare, psychic thought, sorcery, magic, voodoo, mind control, brain frequency meditation, jinxes, potions, every type of bewitchment, all sickness, pain, and torment, and incense and candle burnings, incantations, all chantings, hoodoo, crystals, root work, and every form of witchcraft that exists in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that you give freedom to your people, because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So, Father, we thank you that as we walk in obedience to your word, as we walk to please you, Lord, that the liberty that you have granted us will be freely seen on us, in us, and by the world. We thank you, Lord, for using our lives to draw people to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we pray, Lord, that those souls come into the kingdom of your dear Son, Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and we thank you. And everybody said amen and amen. Well, I know there are those of you that are going to be dealing with the bunny. It's not something you can get yourself out of necessarily, but ask the Lord for wisdom when you come around those persons and you have to deal with those situations. Amen. There are those of you that are going to have to deal with the egg issue. But seek the Lord and ask for his wisdom so he can teach you how to walk through this season, even with family and friends. You see, everyone has not come to the light of the truth. Everyone is not ready to receive truth. Everyone will not receive truth. And so we learn to be patient and long-suffering with those who are in error and out of the way. We don't condemn them, and we do forgive them. And we ask the Lord to draw them to himself, and we ask the Lord to help them to grow. Amen? Just because they're weak at this point doesn't mean that at a future date they won't be stronger. Amen? So we don't condemn them. We forgive them. We pray for them. We ask the Lord to strengthen them, to enlighten them, to help them to grow, to help them be open to truth, to help them to receive truth, to help them to embrace truth. Amen? So when you run into that situation, and it's going to be everywhere, know that they need prayer. Amen? Know that they need prayer. And pray in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. I think we've covered that pretty good. And Father, we lift up to you the atmosphere around your people. Nothing in nature is supposed to attack your children. So we bind pollen, allergy attacks, and sinus infections and colds and flus in Jesus' name. Sudden changes in weather sometime catch us off guard, Lord. But you're well able to strengthen us and to quicken even our mortal flesh. And we give you praise for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen. So tonight, we're going to talk about their own way. That's right, their own way. It's a good topic. The failure through refusal or neglect to conform to or to obey a command of a duly empowered superior is known as disobedience. That's what it is. We pretty much know when we disobey. Sometimes we don't, but most times we do. Amen? Sometimes it's a choice, and we sometimes willfully make the wrong choice. But God is here to help us tonight. Amen? In the scriptures, the primary focus is a failure to properly respond to the commands of the word in loving agreement or consent without protest. That's right. In loving agreement or consent without protest. I know everyone has to grow in that area, because there will be a place where the Lord wants you to do a certain thing and you don't want to do it for whatever reason. It just might be the attitude that you have at that moment. But we are moving closer to that place every day, aren't we, saints? The place where we will lovingly agree with the Lord and consent without protesting when he asked us to do something. Amen? In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, God is insistent that those who are disobedient shall be punished. Yes, if we are determined to be disobedient in an area, God will take his correction to the point of punishment to get our attention. In the book of Titus chapter 1, verse 16. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They profess they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient. And disobedient. And unto every good work reprobate. Now, we don't want that to be said of us, of course, but sometimes we fall into this category. And so the Lord wants to help us out of that category. Amen? Because he's wanting to bless us. You must consider, saints, that some of us have some very serious prayer requests before the Lord. And we really need God to answer us. We need his help. We need his support. We need his mercy. We need his grace. But he also calls for us to obey him. And some of us right now are pretty much in what the world calls in between a rock and a hard place. Because we really do need, we're pressed for God to move on our behalf. We cannot afford to be walking in any area of disobedience right now. Not that any of us ever can, but some of us really have critical situations on the line at this time. This has been a difficult season spiritually because of the increased warfare. That's right. Wickedness is absolutely, positively, absolutely everywhere. And the demonic world is maximizing their leverage. So, let us join the Lord in the book of Leviticus tonight. The book of Leviticus. And we're going to begin in chapter 26, and I'm starting at verse 1. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 1. Ye shall make you no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image. So if you have any of those statues in your house or in your yard or wherever they might be, you know those ceramic figures, those carved figures, they're not allowed in this faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. Neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You say, well, that thing on top of the water fountain out there in the yard, I don't bow down to it, but you're not supposed to have it either. Amen? There's some other scriptures that talk about the description of idolatry and carved and graven images and stone images of what's in heaven and earth or beneath the earth or anything that God has made. He tells you no, and he means it. And those things draw sickness and disease. I like angels, and so I have statues of angels. Well, I hate to tell you this, but those statues don't look like any real angels. And they're not what God allows us to have. There are things God has said no to that are a part of our culture, but not a part of the Christian faith. And so you say, well, I have these rocks outside my house, and they say peace and love and joy, and they're on the footpath to the garden where I plant my flowers. Well, you know, I hate to say this to you, but the very first time I saw those things, I saw them in a magazine, a publication for witchcraft. In very much the same way, there many years ago, there was jewelry called Sarah Coventry. Well, it was made by Sarah's Coven. When the Lord says to stay away from a thing, we should obey him and do that. Verse 3, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach into the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. Well, saints, we're already not able to dwell in our land safely. And I will give peace in the land. Well, we're missing that blessing. And ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Now, isn't that a beautiful blessing? God walking among us, being our God, and us being his people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. Not bent over, upright. Not weighed down, but walking in liberty. Amen? If ye will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, the burning of, and consume, and that shall consume the eyes, and shall cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. That means all the work that you put out, you don't see fruit from it. You see the devil come do some harm to it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies, that they that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sin. And I will break the pride of your power. And I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the field of the land yield their fruit. And if ye walk contrary to me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sin. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sin. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant, And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight. And ye shall eat and not be satisfied. And if ye will not hearken, and if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sin. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries into desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Well, we've got some waste cities. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath as long as it lieth desolate, and ye shall be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbath when you dwelt upon it. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts and in the lands of their enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth, and you shall have no power to stand before your enemy. We need power, saints. And you shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquity of their fathers shall they pine away with them. If they shall confess their iniquity, and the iniquity of their fathers, with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled. Highlight that. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then except of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. And the land also shall be left to them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths while she lieth desolate without them, and they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they despise my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. And yet, for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. So the Lord is bringing his people to understand that he is insistent on obedience, and that disobedience brings a judgment. And we, I think, take it too lightly because we think, oh, all I have to do is repent and say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. No, repentance is more than, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. Repentance means turning from your sin to walk in righteousness, confessing it completely and truthfully and with regret before the Lord, and go and sin no more. And then you proceed not to sin anymore. Amen? God will help you. But you have to choose to do this. Amen? And as you see in the passage, God kept punishing them, trying to get a hold of their attention that they might clearly understand to come back to him and return to his way. Amen? And it's important for us to understand this. As we can see, saints, God is extremely serious concerning our obedience to him. There is a judgment, chastisement, and punishment for the sin of rebellion, stubbornness, and refusing to submit to God's authority and the authority that he gives to those whom he ordains in leadership. Tonight, saints, the Lord wants to bring to our attention areas where many of us are erring. That's right. Where we're not getting it yet, not just yet. Amen? So if you will join me in Hebrews chapter 13, if you'll join me, I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 3, I was a little distracted for a moment, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. The Lord is concerned about us still having doubt and outright unbelief. We just refuse to believe it. Well, there's hope for us, and God has come to help us. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Amen? Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Take heed, that means pay attention, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. God calls it an evil heart of unbelief. So obviously it's not just in your head. It has to be in your heart. And he calls that heart evil, parting from the living God. God has said to you, thus and so. And your brain can't get it yet. You're still on tilt. And he keeps trying to get it through to you. Sometimes it's difficult, saints, to grasp what God is saying to you because the circumstances are speaking so loudly that it seems that's all you can hear sometimes. But we are called to remove our attention from the circumstances long enough to focus on our Lord and what he said. And just because the circumstances don't line up with what God's telling you doesn't mean that they won't ever line up. It just means at the moment they look impossible to you. You see, with men it may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. God is able to do just what he said he would do. Amen? He is. He's able to do what he says he will do. In Jude, the book just before Revelation, Jude 5. Jude 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance. Let me remind you, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt with that huge deliverance, afterward destroyed those same people that did not believe him. So the Lord's wanting us to take this belief issue extremely serious. It's not something we can just pass over. We actually must needs be believe him. And the Gospel of John, chapter 6, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, beginning with verse 42, the Lord says, "And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven?" So Jesus is sitting here ministering to these people, giving them the revelation of who he really is. And they're having a problem accepting what he's saying to them. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves." Murmur not among yourselves. Some of us murmur to ourselves. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, for I will give for the life of the world." Jesus is telling them he's going to give his life. He's the bread of life, he's telling us, the real bread of life. "The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Well, Jesus does have some hard sayings. But you know something? When you come to those, it's best to have a heart that's willing to accept what he says until you can understand what he said, rather than to push what he says away in rejection and offense. Amen? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, there's that murmuring again, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Are you offended because of the things I tell you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And there are people in the world that have done just that. Jesus has brought a truth to them that they find hard to receive, and they choke on it. Instead of backing up and realizing, all right, self, this may be hard for you to swallow, but Jesus is God, and he can't be wrong. Some of us are having a hard time now accepting how God is handling something that we prayed for. We prayed for God to do a certain thing, and he did just that. It's just that he didn't do it the way we thought he was going to do it. Amen? Sometimes we need to think before we open our mouths in murmuring. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 18. Beginning with verse 18. Romans chapter 11, beginning with verse 18. Boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. You just saw that. The Jews are the branches that were broken off. Why? Because they didn't believe that Jesus Christ was their Messiah. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. The Gentile church was grafted in to the true vine. Grafting is an agricultural term. It means a cut was made, the wild vine was placed inside and sealed thereup, and it began to receive life from the root and thereby grow. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. You see, the Jews refused to believe that Jesus was their Messiah. If we, as the Gentiles, those who are not Jews, refuse to believe God, he won't spare us either. We'll have the same judgment they received. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. We can't afford to walk in unbelief. We have to believe God. We have to believe him. Malachi chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Malachi chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Amen. I'll give you a minute to get to Malachi. Amen. God is bringing a very serious message tonight because, you see, it has serious consequences, very serious consequences. Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to begin in verse 18. And your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. In other words, the Lord is saying your attitude toward him has been proud and arrogant. That's what he means by stout. It means your attitude toward him is proud and arrogant. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Amen? You want to know what is it that you said that you shouldn't have said because you thought you should have said that. Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yes, they that work wickednesses are set up. Yes, they that tempt God are even delivered. I know we've looked at people in life that are just as wicked as they can be, and we've seen that they are successful in some areas. And so we're like, well, I'm serving God, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. But over there, they're not doing any of this, and they're getting blessed. Now, how is that happening? Well, the Bible teaches us not to compare ourselves. You see, in the end, if they don't turn because of the goodness of the Lord, the loving kindness of the Lord drawing them, they go into perdition. Then, in verse 16, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. He listened and heard it. The book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared or revered the Lord and that thought upon his name. You see, the wicked have their end. We should not be the wicked, though. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 20. But he that received the seed or the word in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. He only can take it for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. And some of us tonight find ourselves in that position. We were going fine in the Lord till serious tribulation, persecution, and a fiery trial showed up. Why? Because we took a stand in Christ. And the more difficult the fiery trial gets, the more offended we are. But the Lord is saying that we have to change our attitude. We cannot keep doubting him, questioning him, as if he did not love us, did not die for us, and is not moving in our best interest. You see, some of us are having a time growing up. Some of us are taking growing pains to the extreme. And we're refusing to believe what the scriptures clearly tell us. And the Lord is saying, it's time to change your attitude. It's time to change your heart. Because I've been after you about this for some time now. I've been preaching this over and over, and you've heard it. But you just sat there and let those words just roll right over you without the necessary change. And the Lord is coming for the necessary change. See, you can't play hypocrite with Jesus. You can't do that. You can't say one thing out of your mouth and then do something else. You can't call him Lord, but when he calls you into a hard place, you don't want to go and you're not going to do it. It doesn't work. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord to you at all. The next area that the Lord wants to talk to us about tonight, that he wishes to bring to our attention, that he's talked to us many, many times about, is wavering and double-mindedness. One minute, yes, Lord, I'll do this. The next minute, Lord, I can't do that. The minute something happens, our emotions get in the picture. And instead of putting our emotions down first, we quit first. And then 5 minutes later, okay, Lord, I was wrong. We've got to come to the point that we don't sway with the breeze of circumstances. We've got to be upright. God's going to keep poking at our weak places until we get it right. He's going to keep working in those weak places. You say, well, I don't like this. Well, it's good for us. It's good for us. You see, we want to stand before him on that day and not be ashamed. So he has to come and work on the weak places, lest the enemy take advantage of us. You see? So in Psalm 78, and by the way, God is going to uncover some of our sins. He's been trying to get our attention, 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 and we just don't want to deal with it. Well, he's going to go a step further, trying to get our attention. Psalm 78, beginning with verse 8. Psalm 78, beginning with verse 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. And rebellious generation. Most of us come from a stubborn and rebellious generation. Amen? Most of us, that's where we came from. Let's back up to verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not or did not prepare their heart aright, and whose spirit is not steadfast with God. You see, there's preparation that has to go on in the heart so that when the time of testing comes, you don't fail God. And so in verse 9, it says that the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, here you've got your armor of God, you've got your weapons, turned back in the day of battle. They're prepared with their armor. They know how to bind the devil. Their heart isn't right yet. And their spirit is not steadfast with God yet. So when the heat of the battle comes, they turn back instead of standing with God and fighting through to the victory. The Lord's coming for that tonight. He's saying, no, that can't be. Hosea, the book of Hosea. Hosea is in the Old Testament. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Hosea chapter 10, verse 2. Hosea chapter 10, verse 2. Their heart is divided. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. You see, they've got an idol in the heart. And usually that idol in the heart is what I want, God, or what I don't want, God. But the Lord is saying it's this way. Go this way. Most people have a place like that in their lives. And it takes prayer and fasting and dedication to the Lord to overcome. You have to keep going till you get there. You can't quit along the way. Amen? James, the Gospel of James. Well, it's not one of the Gospels. It's actually an epistle. But James, right after Hebrews, James chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, no vacillation, no going to and fro, no going with the breeze. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. That's what Jesus doesn't want us to be. The circumstances drive us. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. God's trying to bless you and he can't because you're not steadfast yet. A double-minded man is unstable, not in some of his ways, all of his ways. The Lord wants that instability out of us. That's right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Folks can't move you either. That's where he wants us. You hear one thing, you hear another thing, and then you're just rocking back and forth. And they say, well, why did you go do that? Because they said, and because these people were doing it. But you weren't sick. Why did you go seek medical attention? There's nothing wrong with you. Psalm 78, verse 36. Beginning with verse 36. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongue. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Steadfast. That's right. That's right. Their hearts weren't right. You see, you got to have a right heart. A right heart. Firm, settled, established, not changing, not fickle, not wavering, not vacillating. A lot of people have that issue. But Jesus is bringing it to our attention because he wants change, and he wants us to come to him so he can get to the root of the matter in us. Don't keep running from it. He wants us to deal with this. He doesn't want us to just say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. No, he wants to get down in there and get this out. He wants to dig this out. He wants to uproot this thing out of us. Amen? Amen. Well, there is yet another issue that the Lord wants to deal with us concerning. And we've mentioned it earlier, but we're going to talk about it just a little bit more. Murmuring and a lack of gratitude. Murmuring, lack of proper appreciation, lack of gratitude. I have noticed over the years somehow that persons that have been involved in witchcraft in their lives seemingly all have this issue. That's right. It's just an observation. People that have been involved in witchcraft somehow seem to have this issue, but they're not the only one. And so we need to pay attention to what's actually going on in our lives and in our hearts. And we need to be more transparent with our Savior. In Numbers chapter 10, beginning with verse 27, Numbers chapter 14, I'll give you a moment to get there. beginning with verse 27, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? An evil church? Yes, that's what he said. Which murmur against me, the Lord is saying. I have heard the murmuring, children of Israel. He's saying, miracle, he's heard our murmuring, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Ye shall not come into the land. My. You murmured so much that God's not going to answer your prayer request. That's serious. We need God to answer our prayer request. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but have you ever gone out on a limb to help someone? I mean, really gone out on a limb. It took up your time. It took up your strength. It took up your finances. Things that you normally would attend to, you weren't able to because you're trying to help someone that's in desperation. And no matter how much you do for them, to say in a bad attitude. Have you ever been in that predicament? It does not make you feel good to realize that people don't appreciate nor see what you're doing to help them. You see, the issue, the problem is not your problem. It's actually there. And they are in such a place of immaturity that they just reject everything you're attempting to do to help them. It could discourage you. But you see, the Lord didn't like it either. It displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. Amen? Amen. The Lord doesn't like being taken for granted. He doesn't like it when we turn with our mouths and attack him when he's reaching out to us in love. Just because it doesn't suit us, we think we have the right to say everything. Well, not so. Numbers 21. Numbers 21, beginning with verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. It was some rough terrain. It was a hard journey. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Against God and against God's leadership. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Well, God, what'd you do that for? What What's all this for? What'd you do this for? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. So, in other words, God's provision didn't suit them. It wasn't what they wanted. And they couldn't stand what God had done for them. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Some of us should be grateful that we weren't living back then, because we would already be dead. You know, saints, we need to learn to be satisfied with what the Lord provides for us. We need to learn to humble ourselves so that we can receive the provision of authority and covering. We need to learn that when we're in a desperate or difficult situation, humility is the only way through. Obedience is required. This is the time to display your love for God through obedience. Numbers chapter 10, verse 10. Also, in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offering, and over the sacrifices of your peace offering, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. We're supposed to serve the Lord with gladness of heart, regardless of the circumstances. That's right. Now comes a very, very serious scripture. Let us hear the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 20, beginning with verse 16. Ezekiel chapter 20, beginning with verse 16. Because they despise my judgment and walk not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Their heart went after their idols. You know, I want it like I used to have it, God. I don't want this that you're giving me. I want it the way I want it. Nevertheless, mine eye spared them from destroying them. Neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourself with their idols. Don't keep doing that generational stuff that you know is wrong. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. Amen. That's true. Jude, back to Jude, the book just before the book of Revelation, Jude. Amen. This is a growing up message, and God is expecting us to grow up. Jude 15. To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, as in proud and arrogant, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, their own desires, what they want. And their mouth speaking great swelling words. That's not supposed to be us. We're not to partake of this. That's not supposed to be us at all. We're supposed to be meek and humble. We're not supposed to protest when God gives us something hard to do. Amen? Amen. It's so. Now, we've talked before about us wanting to walk in our own way as opposed to his way for us. And it appears that some of us are still there. And God is saying no more of that. It's time for change. He's serious. It's time for change. Proverbs and verse 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, not the ways of the Lord and not the benefits of obedience. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 3. I'll give you a moment to get there. Ezekiel chapter 3. You know, saints, I'm just going to talk for a minute while you get to Ezekiel. We ask you to do a few things in this ministry sometimes. And most of you comply, most of you do, but there's still some that don't. Simple things like we ask you to, if you write or do money orders, to make it out to Miracle Outreach Ministry. Miracle Outreach Ministry. And so we say, if you forget, go to the page on giving on the website. What we want is right there. The address that we want you to send it to is there as well. And we would like for you to honor us and comply and do what we ask. Amen? It's a simple thing. But sometimes, some don't. Amen? You know, there are people who want to do a certain thing, and then the word of God comes and says, this is the wrong thing to do. But they want to do it so badly that they go and find a back alley way to do it. When you stealth around in darkness to do it, and you think that your doings won't be uncovered. But I'm here to tell you, God sees it all. And he's calling for change. You know, the word comes and God wants you to do this, but it's not what you want to do. So you jerk your shoulders and your neck and you just don't do it. You dig your heels in and you're just not going to do it because you don't want to do it. Why should I have to do this? I'm doing A, B, and C. Why should I have to do this? Because God said do A, B, C, D, E, and F. That's why. And either he's the Lord of your life, either he's your God, or your own will is your own God. That's your idol. Your will, not his. So, God's come to deal with us tonight about that. So, in Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning with verse 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. They'll understand what you're going to say. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely I sent thee to them. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto me, for they will not hearken unto me. They won't hearken unto thee, for they won't hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Really? Yes, that's what God's saying. They are impudent and hard-hearted. They don't want nobody telling them nothing. They are determined to stay in their own stubborn ways. They don't want to change. They want to grin in your face and pretend that they're doing the word when they know they aren't. I sent Pat to them. I'm sending you to them. And you've told them what I said, and you've told them what to do, but they do the part they want to do, and they don't do the rest. Or they do it when they feel like it, and they don't do it consistently. Mm-hmm. So, you see, the Lord is coming for this. The Lord is saying to me that he's sending me to a people who don't want to listen to me, even more than they don't want to listen to him. That some of them are very hard and stubborn, and they don't want to pay attention. That's what he's saying. So, here's my word. Give it to them anyway. Amen? 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Timothy. Chapter 6 and verse 9. He says, when you have wrong things in your heart, you fall into temptation and a snare, and also into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Foolish and hurtful desires, which drown people in destruction and perdition. That's not what God wants for his people. He wants us to prosper, even as our souls prosper. He wants us to obey him and to honor him with obedience. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They profess that they know God. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. See my bumper sticker? But in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient. And disobedient. And the Lord says, I see it. That, you know, you on this fast, and okay, you did some things you're supposed to do, right? But you still got this pocket of disobedience in your life. I want to deal with that. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 9. Full, and he said unto them, Jesus speaking, full well, ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Well, what tradition is that? Doing it your way. What you think, what you feel, what you want, what you believe, your idea, your plan, your way. That's your own tradition. I want it my way, God. Verse 13, making the word of God none effect, null and void, never mind what God says, making the word of God none effect through your tradition. And many such like things do you. You want it this way. You believe it's supposed to be this way. And you're going to do everything in your power to get it that way. Well, that doesn't necessarily please the Lord. We must understand, saints, that God will punish those who turn their backs on him and return to their sin life. He loves us. He doesn't want us to end up in hell, and he doesn't want our lives to be destroyed, sin destroyed. So in Joshua chapter 24, verse 20, Joshua chapter 24 and verse 20, the Lord said, if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he hath done you good. You see, you can't walk off from God with strutting around with your head and your neck and your shoulders and your, I don't want to do that. It's not going to work. And if you're doing that, I encourage you to stop. Amen. Stop in the name of Jesus. Ezra. Ezra is in the Old Testament. 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra. Ezra. And the Bible says that the hand of our God, Ezra 8, 22. Ezra chapter 8, verse 22. The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. That's what he says. His hand is upon all of them for good that are seeking him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. You see, this obedience thing is critical. Because you know there are souls on the line. It's never just about us. It's about the kingdom. Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me. Now think about this. Moses and Samuel, the prophet, where none of his words fell to the ground. It came out of Samuel's mouth. God did it. Boom. There it is. Moses, who led God's people out of slavery, out of bondage, all those mighty signs and wonders. Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth, God said. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto me, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death to death, and such as are for the sword to the sword, and such as are for the famine to the famine, and such as are for the captivity to the captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, the dogs to tear, the fowl of the heaven, and the beast of the earth to devour and to destroy. God is extremely serious. He means business. and we need to do business with him. Amen? He means business. Verse 5, for who shall have pity upon thee, or who shall bemoan thee, or who shall go aside and ask, how are you doing? Thou hast forsaken me, says the Lord. Thou art gone backward. For will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee? I'm weary with repenting. We just repent and repent and repent over the same thing over and over and over and over, but don't change. It's time for the change. The Lord says he's weary with you continually just repenting. I'm repenting, I'm repenting. Okay, I repent, Lord. But you don't change. That's not going to work. The change must needs become. And so he's come to us tonight to say, I'm ready to get down to the bottom of this. And we need to be ready to go with him there. Amen? John chapter 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. The Gospel of John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Yes, some of us are going through some purging, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Except ye abide in the vine, no more can ye. Except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So what's with this forsaking me to do your own way business? What's this murmuring and complaining about? What's this doubt and unbelief, this rebellion and stubbornness for? If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Think about when the storm comes and those branches that fall out of the tree and land on the ground. And in a couple of days, they're dried up and brown. And then you drag them to the curb, and the city comes by and picks them up and puts them in to that grinder thing. And that's the end of them. The Lord wants our attention. Psalm 44. Beginning with verse 20, Psalm 44, beginning with verse 20. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. The Lord's saying, you're up here raising your hands, going hallelujah, I praise you, singing songs. But he's looking at our heart, and it's just not right. It's just not right. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 10. Now, you know, somebody is watching your life. Somebody is reading your prayer requests. Somebody is watching your life. Proverbs 28, verse 10. Whoso causes the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. It's never just about you. Somebody's watching you. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, you know there's this thing called planned sin. You know that what you want to do is not necessarily pleasing to the Lord, or that your attitude is way off base. But you're not going to do anything about it. You're going to still walk in what you want to walk in. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. Verse 29, of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God is saying, don't backslide. I'm come to warn you tonight. Don't backslide and don't go backward on me. After all I've done for you, don't forsake me and go do your own thing. Forsake me and go do your own thing. Don't sit there in that doubt. Don't keep with these ugly questions, and don't sit there harboring your unbelief. Stop that wavering and come to me and deal with your double mind. You're here 1 minute, you're there someplace else. And every time I hear from you, you're someplace else. God's saying, don't keep murmuring and don't harbor that attitude of, I just don't care. I don't care. We don't really appreciate the blood of Jesus the way we ought to. We don't appreciate his protection of us the way we ought to. You know, saints, sometimes, not every time, and not all the time, but there are some times when the reason we have an attack is because we've done something to open a door, and that something might have well been disobedient. Sometimes our attitude isn't right, and so it allows the enemy ground to attack us where the enemy would not have had ground otherwise. And then we want to call in and, oh, I need prayer. But have you repented of the sin that opened the door? Did you even ask the Lord if perhaps you had transgressed and hadn't realized it, and that opened the door? Is there something you forgot to do? Or did you have an attitude during the course of the week that opened the door? So, the Lord says to us that we must have a repentant attitude. Some of us don't have a repentant attitude. That's the attitude that says, Lord, I need to change. I have to change. This can't continue any longer. Help me to change. Not just, oops, no, change. Psalm 41, verse 4. Psalm 41, verse 4 said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Psalm 51, verse 3. Psalm 51, really the whole psalm, but we'll only do verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions. There has to be an acknowledgement of sin. And sometimes not just to the Lord, sometimes to the other person or person. Acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Psalm 84, verse 10. Psalm 84, verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. But you know, saints, that's got to be true in our lives. We've got to actually prefer to be in God's kingdom versus somewhere else, to be in our hearts. Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 7. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us. Our iniquities are standing up saying, no, she ain't right. No, don't believe that. She's not right. See what she's doing? Do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. For our backslidings, plural, are many, M-A-N-Y. We have sinned against thee. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7. And I will give them an heart to know me. I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Whole heart. Not part, whole. Hosea chapter 6. Hosea is in the Old Testament, right after the book of Daniel. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. You see, when the punishment comes, when the chastisement, when the reproof and the rebuke comes, let us go back to the Lord. We got off the road. We're so busy doing our thing, we didn't even notice we had backslidden. He's torn us. He's punished us. But he'll heal us. He's smitten us. We got a spanking. But he'll fix it. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. But he giveth more grace. He does. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Go to God. To God. Humble yourselves. Go to the Lord. And submit yourself to him. Resist the devil. Because you can't resist the devil until you submit yourself to God. And he will flee from you. Draw nigh or close to God, and he will draw close to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, because your hands are dirty in sin. You've been doing the wrong thing. Purify your heart. Get that mess out of your heart that doesn't have any business being there. Ye double-minded, get that other thing out. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. First John, the book of First John, chapter 1, verse 9. First John, chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Lord, we thank you. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sin and stop pretending that it's not a sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, not his sin, our sin, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll make you feel clean inside. Yes, he will. He'll make you feel clean inside. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. But it's up to you. Amen? Amen. We have to make the right choice. Amen? We have to make the right choice. We have to tell the truth to ourselves, to our God, and sometimes to other people too. Amen. Yes, Lord. This is a real strong message, saints. This is a serious growing up message. But we have to do what's right. Because we're called to be holy. The Lord says, be holy because I'm holy. So we have to keep going and keep going to him for help. Keep asking the Holy Spirit to help us, because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We have to be holy. We can't be like some other folk that we know that call themselves Christians. We can't do that. We actually have to obey him. You see, this is what's on the line. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and here is the clincher, and turn from their wicked ways. He's called us out on our wicked ways tonight. He's called us out, pure and simple. Then, and not before, then, when we have turned from our wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven. He'll forgive our sins. And this land of ours, these family members, this country we live in, this world, then he'll heal the land. That's when the land gets healed. You see, we're the ones holding up the revival that we are believing him for. It's us, the people that are called by his name. It's not the sinners. It's us. And so God is calling us to get it right. That's what he's calling us to do. He's calling us to get it right. Amen? Amen. I pray that we heard him tonight and that we will take him seriously. I hope that we've learned to submit to our God and to submit to his authority. I pray that we've learned many things. I pray that we recast this until we can hear it in our sleep. Because God is waiting on us. He's wanting to bring revival. We're holding him up. Amen? Amen. Let's take him seriously, saints. Let's take him seriously. Brother Bill, it's a good
praise
time
the
to
Lord
hear
the report. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. And I only want to say one thing, saints. Recast, recast, recast. Let's get this right. Praise you, Lord Jesus. You are getting us all straightened out. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Dana has a praise report. The Lord showed her a dream, and he gave her the meaning of it, and he was warning her about someone around her that is working against her. Thank you, Lord, for that. Caroline said she received deliverance for her joints that were stubborn to release, and the Holy Spirit reminded me how the lepers were gradually healed as they went away. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. God bless that all the red tape was cut for him. Everything's working out great. Thank you, Lord Jesus. YDM says, I had put a prayer request in there for my sister's back surgery, and everything just went fine. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Dina says, the Lord brought me down to repentance of covetousness. I was wanting all the stuff in this life, and the Lord showed me about it. Thank you, Lord. You are cleaning us out. You're working on it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. K. Arthur, I like this. The devil is a liar. For the past few weeks, I felt very weak and fatigued, and the Holy Spirit showed me and told me that I needed to anoint a toe, and instantly my energy came back into my body. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. We just praise you, Lord, for these testimonies. Dina says, the Lord reminded me of another lesson learned about Joseph's story in Genesis was forgiveness. And immediately I forgave everyone and asked the Lord to forgive me as well. Praise you, Lord, for that. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Saints, that will block your healing. When I forgave my real dad that used to beat us bloody, I had terrible carpal tunnel and arthritis in my hands. They hurt so bad. As soon as I forgave them, Jesus healed me. If you've got something in your body you haven't been healed of yet, ask the Lord to show you in your mind names of everyone you have unforgiveness towards and forgive them, and you will get healed. Praise you for that, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lena, you're going to love this. This is one of the scriptures we went over. The Lord reminded her when she learned when she was 10 or 12 years old, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. When Pastor went over that tonight, I was thinking, yes, Lena had already heard from the Holy Ghost. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Sharon has a praise report. My daughter had 101 temperature, and I put a request in the prayer room, and she was fine the next morning. She's playing outside. Praise you for that, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory because you heal when we ask you to, and you do so much good for us. Dee has a praise report. She added to the one that she put in here earlier in the week. In addition to the $1,056 I received after the prayer service, right after that prayer service we had on Tuesday. You need to recast that too, saints. That the next day I got a $3,000 direct deposit from back insurance benefits I was owed. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Praise you, Lord Jesus, for everything you're doing. You provide all of our needs. You not only heal us, you not only deliver us, but praise you, Lord Jesus, for everything you do, just creating clean hearts in all of us, Lord, and show us all the junk you want us to get rid of, and we will. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. And we can't wait, Lord, for you to clean us up and show us how to humble ourselves in front of you. And we know that you will heal this land when we give up our wicked ways. We give you all the praise, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory. And now back to you, Pastor Sabrina. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, you know, saints, this is referred to as Good Friday. And so somebody might ask, well, what's so good about it? Well, I can tell you what's so good about it. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the very first Good Friday, we have an opportunity. There were no opportunity to repent. What if the minute we went wrong, we were killed? Well, he doesn't do it that way. He gives us an opportunity to repent. It's a sacred thing, saint. It's a sacred thing, repentance. You know, it's not the brush over. Oh, Lord, I repent all my sins. Bam. No. It's the Psalm 51 kind of repentance. It's the Psalm 51 kind of repentance. God is going to show us individually and corporately where we're missing it, because he wants us to get it right. He really does. Hear the heart of God. He wants us to get it right. He wants us to get it right. Some of us are wondering, what happened to our joy? Well, maybe we need to go to the Lord and find out. Some of us are having this problem and that problem and the other situation and the other situation, and we need to go press into the Lord. We need to be right there at the throne. Lord, show me, show me. Have I done something wrong? Is it something I've said, I thought, I believed, I acted on? What is it that's holding up my blessing? Why isn't my faith growing the way it should? What boulder do I have in the way? What have I allowed to stop me? We need to pay the more earnest heed to what the Lord said to us tonight and not to let it slip by us, because God is extremely serious. I want to thank the Lord coming tonight and giving us his word and calling us on the carpet for our sins so that we take advantage of this gracious opportunity of repentance and that we come to him in sincerity and in truth, withholding nothing, laying our hearts bare and our lives bare before him, letting his light shine on our lives so that we can see where we're not walking like him. We're not believing like him. We're not trusting him there in that place. You see, we can be forgiven of what we've done. We can be forgiven, or he wouldn't be here trying to get our attention. This is the season to go before the Lord and to be very contrite and very serious, because God wants us to change, church. Amen? He wants us to change. He wants to grant the things that we want and need. He wants to do it for us, but we have to allow him to do it. And in order for him to do it, we have to change. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we have received your word tonight, and we found it to be good for our souls. We found it to be good for our souls. We want to be right, Lord. Help us with our attitude. Help us with our unbelief. Help us, Lord. Thank you for coming to point out where we're missing. We lay before you, Lord, all the prayer requests in the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room. And we ask for your mercy and grace. We ask for your answers and your solutions. We entrust these matters to you, Lord. And we receive your decision and your judgment concerning each matter. We thank you for your intervention, your kind and merciful goodness and intervention in human life. Help us to live our lives to please you, Lord. Help us to live our lives to please you. We thank you. We give you praise. Brother Marshall.
Praise the Lord. Give me just a second.
Praise Man. The Lord. Concerning it all joy.
Well, looking for the little headset here. There we go. Thank you, Lord.
Shut this thing off.
Get to say amen, amen to the message, amen to the challenge. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. There we go. There we go. Got that thing hooked up. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your mercy, Lord. And that's what it's all about. Thank you. It was in the Old Testament. Anybody messed up, have two or three witnesses, whoop, that was it. It's all over and done with. Thank you, Lord, for the New Testament. Oh, it's a little bit more challenging in some areas because you just carry a grudge against somebody. It's the same thing as murder, right? That's what it's. But in the New Testament, oh, that grace. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the grace of God. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can come boldly before your throne of grace, Father God, with our big brother Jesus. Thank you, Father. You are the one who set him forth to be that substitute and sacrifice through faith in his blood. Would that imply that God has faith in the blood of Jesus? I think it really does. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I continue to commit my works unto you, Lord, that my thoughts may be established in Jesus' name. All of my thoughts, continually, moment by moment. I bind every spirit of vain imagination, this head and this heart, all the heads and hearts I can stand in for, including every spirit of love of this world. Every ungodly spirit, I bind each and every one, every spirit of vain imagination, every spirit of puffed upness, in Jesus' name. You're looking for the meek and contrite heart, Lord. You're not looking for the, well, I thought. No, what does God think? That's what it's all about. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. So we come boldly before your throne of grace, Father, with our big brother Jesus to say thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you've come to write your law in our innermost being. And we get to just stare at that little red cup of juice. That's maybe a very simple thing, but just like the good thief on the cross stared at Jesus. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your paradise. We say, Lord, remember us because of what Jesus did. Not because, don't remember our wicked ways. Remember us because of what Jesus did in our place. At least I deserve to have hung on that tree for all the nasty things I've done in the past and nasty thoughts and presumptions. But Jesus, you paid it all. I thank you, Lord, for the new creature in Christ, that we do become new creatures in Christ. And we gaze into that, into your eyes, and you change us from glory to glory. With the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. And you're gazing into our very innermost being. You know all the dust bunnies in my heart. And you've been doing a lot of spring cleaning. And I thank you for the fast. I thank you for the opportunities to hear your word daily. And I thank you, Lord, it's not a hardship. It's a joy. Sometimes it's a little challenge, but it's a joy to hear your word. I give you praise, Lord. And Father, we know, and many, many believers, not just in the United States, many believers, and some in other countries that are going through horrific persecutions. As even as we heard about recently, Father, I think it was from Lena in Indonesia, the people over there, they're going through tremendous persecution. The people in other nations, in Africa, in different nations, and Sabrina's reminded us about the people, the Christians in Nigeria. I think the top half of the northern half of that country is mostly Muslim, and the bottom half is mostly Christians. And they're not little little social Christians like a little club. No, no. They're heartfelt Christians. They're very sincere Christians, Father. From the time I was over there, at least the few I met, thank you, Father, very, 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 very sincere. And they're willing to humble themselves and listen to a bunch of pale-faced people come in and tell them one or two little things, and I knew nothing. Father, but I thank you, Father. They were so eager, so hungry for your word. Give us all that hunger and a thirst for righteousness, Lord. Though when Jesus says, and this is my commandment, that you'll love one another as I have loved you. Ooh, well, how did he love me? How did he love each of us? Oh, he poured out his blood, his soul for each of us. Thank you, Lord. And that's how we come before your throne of grace with our big brother Jesus, Father, because of that amazing, unmerited favor, the grace, the mercy, the love of God, the blood of Jesus, Father, that blood of Jesus over each of us. And we plead that blood over each of us and our family members. And some of us are new, and some of us have been in walking with the Lord for a season, Father God. But even as Pat Holiday, she never walked with the Lord as long as Enoch did, 360-something years. And the Lord just boop, took him out of there because he just pleased the Lord. Help us to please you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm not saying we don't have to go through the challenges of leaving our earthly bodies. But Lord, you want what's best for each of us. So we ask, Father God, that we'll be able to do what the believers have been doing for centuries, Father God, and rejoice in the Lord always. Even I say again, rejoice. It's for our safety. Why is that for our safety? That's what he says in his word. If we rejoice in the Lord, it was in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. If we were rejoicing in the Lord, it's for our safety, Father God. So, Father, we pray for those, Father God, in all the nations, including the United States, and all the nations where people are being persecuted for righteousness' sake, people being persecuted for wanting to share the gospel. Even as Brother Bill brought to our attention in the prayer request, said a San Jose pastor was threatened with jail time if he held church services, and his church would be slapped with $1 million in fines. Does that sound like Satan's busy? Oh, it does sound like Satan's really, really busy. He doesn't want us to just cover our little mouths up. He wants us to gag us. So, Father, as the people that have been serving Satan on the left side of the spiritual and the political agenda, it's not just left. It's downright communism and fascism, Father God. The anti-Christians, anti-Semitic agenda has been increased because we know these are the last times. Satan's really, 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 really angry. He's a very angry being because he can never repent. And misery loves company. He's full of proud wrath. Ooh, that's what he manifests. And sometimes it manifested through me and generationally in my family. And I've repented of that. And I thank you, Lord, for changing me from glory to glory as I behold your face with open face. So, Father, we ask for all the believers to be able to hear your word, hear your voice, and do what you want us to do. And even pray in the way you want in the spirit, not only praying for the body of Christ, but praying for our so-called enemies or friends, whatever you want to call them. As Job prayed for his friends, they gave him some questionable advice. It's in the Word of God, but some of it was not pleasing to the Lord. But Job, when he prayed for his friends, the Lord restored all that he had. Toward the end of the book of Job, the Lord restored all that he had. And everything, even double to the animals and all that stuff. The children, his children were restored to exact, because the first children, they didn't go away. See, all the human beings are eternal. Three daughters and was it five sons or something, whatever it was. Was it seven? I forget. Anyway, he got the same exact number of daughters and sons when the Lord restored everything after he prayed for his friends. So, Father, we pray for those who are despitefully using us, those that can be saved, Father. Just like Paul and Silas, it says they prayed and praised the Lord. They prayed and praised the Lord in Acts 16:25. Why did they do that? Because the Lord asked them to. And because they had the joy of the Lord in their heart. Just like Jesus says, but in that day, the day that Jesus went back to be with Daddy, with Heavenly Father, went back to be with God the Father, in that day when Jesus went back to be the Father, in that day he says, you'll ask me nothing. And the day you get the revelation of what you're looking at, when you're looking at the little red cup of juice, and the day you get the revelation, hey, this really is the Word of God that's been penned for us by the Holy Ghost. And that's why it all agrees. Even those all kinds of different human authors, you know, from Isaiah to Paul and all these different human authors that penned the book. You know, Moses penned Genesis, whatever, the first five books. But all those human authors, they all got the same they got Holy Ghost revelation. They were penning things in there. It wasn't them. It was the Holy Ghost doing it. And we thank you, Lord, for what the Holy Ghost has done. We thank you for that. We can get divine revelation, Father, in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost is tapping me on the shoulder, telling me to, I don't remember where that is. Help me, Lord, to find it quickly. And he said, I don't want to get off track here. I'm not off track of doing what you asked me to do. Okay. It says in Psalm 55, this kind of is a little continuation of Sabrina's message. I'm not trying to go there, but this is what he wants me to do if I can find it. Oh, Lord, this is not the normal book. We know about the one casting a burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee, shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. In verse 22, but there's another one in there. Oh, there it is, verse 19. He even told me the verse. Wow, thank you, Lord. Psalm 55:19. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, says Selah, or in other words, ooh, think about that one, Marshall. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Wow. Help us to have that holy, holy reverence of you, Lord. You've told us to fear the Lord. And if we have a holy fear of you, Lord, you're going to protect us. You're going to deliver us from famine and all these other nasty things, Father God, that the enemy has planned. And he's busy. He's really busy. He wants to mess up the body of Christ. He wants to persecute not only another little Jewish Holocaust. He wants to get rid of anybody that would call him the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in Jesus' name. It says in Psalm 33:18-19, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Do we fear him? Is his eye on us? Are we looking to him? Are we looking, seeking his face? To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our, plural, soul, singular. Jesus is our life. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He, singular, he God, he Jesus, is our, plural, help and our shield. Don't we love that? For our heart, our, plural, heart, singular, shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. His holy name, that name above all names. And that's when we have his blood on our lips and in our heart. Jesus, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Father, we call upon that name. He said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. What shall I render? In Psalm 50, verse 15, Psalm 116, starting at verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And that's when he's looking in my heart, and I get to look into his face. Just like he asked us to seek the Lord, his strength, seek his face continually. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. And there was a brother who died in August of 1979. He was a very devout man. He was an independent Baptist, didn't believe in deliverance, didn't believe in the Holy Ghost, the way Dr. Sabrina and Bill and the rest of us do, but he had a fear of God, and he was did lots of wonderful things for the Lord as a pastor and as a policeman and as an evangelist, ministering to people in the street corners, telling us to be saved and how to get to heaven, and he laid lots of foster children. But when he died, he found out, ooh, the Lord is really, really real, and he showed him a lot of things, and he told us, Howard Pittman, told us through his testimony, which he gives to Christians, he told us that the number one, Satan's number one favorite idol are not little statues of Mary. I mean, people can bow down and worship them. And it's not money. That's the root of it, all evil, it says. The love of money, isn't it? Not the money itself. The love of money. People, ooh, think that money is more important than listening to the Word of God. That's a big problem. But the number one favorite idol is S-E-L-F, self, thinking that what I'm thinking is right. And the Word of God can't be right because it doesn't line up with what I'm thinking, because I'm the standard or whatever, but I'm not the standard. We're all going to stand before the throne of the Lord Jesus in that day, the day of judgment, and we're not going to have anybody with us to say, well, that person said these things, and this other person, they looked at me funny or whatever, they treated me, or I was molested as a child, or I was, some of the people are going through horrific things. Oh, Lord, 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 deliver the people. Deliver all the children, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, deliver us all from these nasty spirits, this nasty Antichrist, anti-Semitic agenda, Father God, and in Jesus' name. And, Father, we don't just sit there and boo-hoo. We thank you, Father God. You've given us power and authority on the earth, and we give you praise and honor and glory. Even as you reminded me of what I thought was kind of an unlikely place, but it's even the very first chapter of the book of Genesis, which we've just finished reading. It's right there. It's right there. You gave us dominion, Father. It says in Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, in Jesus' name. And there are some creepy things creeping on the earth, even as the Lord showed me again today in the book of Daniel. I had forgotten all about this, Lord, and the Lord reminded me. It's right in there in the book of Daniel, and Daniel chapter 2, verse 43. And when thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So, Father God, we know that testimony, Father God, that you gave Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel and the three brothers that prayed with him. We thank you for hearing the prayers of the saints. You said, if two of you on earth are good, touching anything you ask, it shall be done to my Father which is in heaven. That's one of the first places I saw that, hey, there's a bunch of believers. They got together in agreement. And God even gave them the king's dream. That's supernatural. Absolutely supernatural. And Jesus says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, all those creeping things, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Father, we rejoice that our names are written in heaven. We thank you for 1 John 1:9. We thank you that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank you, Lord, that Jesus came to love us and wash us from our sins in his own blood and causing us to be kings and priests unto you, Father, by his blood. Because of that blood of sprinkling, it speaketh better things than that of Abel. It says, Father, forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Glory and dominion to King Jesus forever and ever. Glory and dominion to Heavenly Father forever and ever. You said, call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be delivered. We're calling upon your name and ask you to deliver us. Deliver not only the pastor in San Jose and his church, Father God, from the attacks of the enemy, but all the believers from all these attacks. Even as Pat Holiday warned us many, many, many times, she said, in the last days, they're going to want to shut down even the internet church. And all the books that are on Amazon, which is questionable whether the Lord can keep it there, but it cautioned us to put them on something that we can save, whatever it is, whether it's a, I don't know much about computers, hard drive, whatever. If something you can download that you can save, if you like some of Pat Holiday's materials, download the ones you really want to save, not just for you, but for posterity. And if you want to print them out, you got a printer, you got some paper, you got some ink cartridges or whatever, print them out. Print them out before Amazon gets carried away, Father. Deliver us all and grant us your wisdom. Help us to be, as Sabrina told us, to be wise as serpents. Help us all to be wise as serpents. Father God, we ask you to deliver us all, and we turn to the accuser of the brethren. We say to him, we bind you. We bind every one of your underlings in Jesus' name. We cancel their assignments to steal, kill, and to destroy, coming against all the believers in Jesus and all the true descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those who've been grafted in, Father God, who think they're Jewish, whether they are not, Lord, in Jesus' name. We ask you to deliver each and every one from all those spirits seeking to kill, steal, and or destroy in Jesus' name, and all those that will be coming into the body of Christ. Satan, you're bound, all your underlings are bound in Jesus' name, including every spirit of Leviathan, Kundalini, every spirit of darkness, every spirit of false light, every spirit of following traditions of men, every spirit of following, well, my granddaddy did it this way, and then my daddy did it this way, but does it line up with the Word of God? Every one of those spirits of rebellion and idolatry are bound in Jesus' name. Every spirit of stinking thinking is bound in Jesus' name. Satan, you, the mind blinder, and all your underlings, the strong man, are perpetually bound, according to Mark 3:27, Matthew 12:29, in Jesus' name. And we're all in agreement according to Matthew 18:18. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. You, Satan, all your underlings, named or not named, are bound. And from our position, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians 2:6, Proverbs 18:10, the end of Psalm 91, we command there be no further flow of power communication from the demons in the second heavens, the demons in the bush and the deep, to all those we have and are interceding for, not just the pastor in San Jose, but all those that have been attacked and being all the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in Jesus' name, all of your plans to steal, kill, and or destroy, coming against all those we have, are, and will intercede for, of none effect, in Jesus' name, including all those standing for the truth. If that includes Donald J. Trump, it includes Donald J. Trump, in Jesus' name, every one of your plans to steal, kill, and or destroy, every spirit behind communism, every spirit behind fascism, every spirit behind witchcraft are all bound. Every witchcraft curse returned at least sevenfold on the heads of the spirits of sin. Do those spirits for they intend to do us in Jesus' name because of the blood of covenant. And Father, you said if two of you on earth are touch anything you ask, it shall be done to my Father which is in heaven. We're all in agreement, Father. We ask you to send your obedient warring angels. Put supernatural tents over every witch's coven, every place they're offering sacrifices to their false gods, to Satan and his underlings, God, whether it be in Islam, whether it be in Freemasonry, other source, Father God, in Jesus' name, and cause all the curses to go back to the spirits to send them, Father. Put supernatural tents over all those things that their curses cannot go forth in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, the more with us than them. We thank you for warring, linking angels round about all your servants, Father God, as well as all your prophets and their servants in Jesus' name. Thank you for the angel, Lord, that encampeth round about them, that fears you, Lord, and delivers them. It is written in the book of Job, chapter 22, starting at verse 28, as joint heirs with Christ, according to what's written in John, chapter 8, Romans, chapter 8, as joint heirs with Christ, it says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the and the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, this is what you tell us to say, there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person, praise the Lord. And he shall deliver the island of the innocent, and is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for washing us our hands, washing not just our hands, but our minds and our hearts in your own blood, Lord Jesus. Washing all these temples, even as Jesus, you washed the disciples' feet, so we can have part with you, Lord. And if we've touched anything that's unclean or offensive to you, Lord, we do repent, Lord, and ask you to show us how you want each of us, how you want me to change, and each of us to change in Jesus' name. And we repent, renounce every spirit of covetousness and every other spirit that's offensive to you in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to deliver Donald J. Trump and all those standing for the truth. We ask you to send the Holy Spirit to minister to and through him and those working together with him for your future plans for this country, the United States of America, and which will affect the world for that matter in Jesus' name, that your will be done, Father. We've heard different things. We don't know, but you know everything, and the timing is in your hands, Lord. Our times are in your hands. That you'll deliver us from everyone that's attacks against free speech in the United States of America and the current, a new, ongoing, revived attack against the Second Amendment in Jesus' name, which you gave the wisdom to the founders of this nation that we should have a Second Amendment, not to mention the First Amendment of free speech in Jesus' name. We ask to deliver us from the enemies of this nation, foreign and domestic, in the natural and especially in the spiritual, Lord, in Jesus' name. Because you said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. And you said, because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. We love you, Abba. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Ghost. Because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Thank you for a long, satisfied life, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father God, we ask you to deliver us from every one of these spirits of oppression, depression, discouragement. When we people are looking at the problem instead of looking at the solution, which is Jesus. He's our solution. He's our hope. Even as Martha's sister, Mary, what did she do? She chose the better way. What did she do? She just sat at Jesus' feet and listened to him. But then she needed to actually trust in him and know that he's going to work it out. Oh, but you saw the terrible thing that happened to her brother. Oh, my goodness, he went and died. And Jesus wasn't there to save him. Oh, my goodness. And Donald Trump's not here right now. And was he our Savior? No, Jesus is our Savior. Can he use Donald Trump? He can use Donald Trump if that's the plan. That's, you have to wait and see. But we know that God can do anything because he can do exceeding abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. And Father God, our hope is in you, Lord. Our hope is in you. Our hope is not in our 401k or whatever these things are, the financial instruments. Our hope is not in, although there's some practical things that people can do, Father God. We've heard people say that all this printing of the money, that food prices, not to mention fuel prices and these other things, could tend to go upward for a season anyway, till things are brought in check, when things are brought back into line. But if we can just fix our eyes on that hope, the hope set before us in Jesus' name, and I'm trying to, where is it? There it is. It's in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And this is when we find out, hey, God can't lie. It's impossible for him to lie. He called us to be heirs with him. And I'm going to go back to verse 17. We're in God willing more abundantly. Hebrews 6, 17 and following. To show unto the heirs of promise. Hey, are we heirs of promise? Who promised it? God. Can he lie? Never, ever. Who's Satan? He's the father of lies. But the heirs of promise, of the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, verse 18, that by two immutable things, two things that can never, ever change, in which it was, and still is, impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. We all need to lay hold upon that hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, praise the Lord, both sure and steadfast, which entering into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And beginning of the next chapter, Hebrews 7, verse 1, and this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, wow, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Hey, there's the tithe, right? A tenth part of all. First being by interpretation, king of righteousness, Melchizedek, king of righteousness. King of righteousness, and that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Jerusalem means the flow of peace. And that's the mother of us all. And how did he make peace? By shedding his blood. He made peace by the blood of his cross. How did he give us righteousness? By his blood. How do we have complete divine peace no matter what's going on? Oh, help us all, Lord. No matter what's going on, it's by his blood, by the blood of Jesus. Because that's something that will never, ever change. That's the blood of the creator of heaven and earth. And if he shed his blood, he would have to cease. He was eternal, would have to cease to exist and not perform his will and his word as long as we're lining up with him, wanting to do it his way. And so if we're willing to pray and praise the Lord, even when it's uncomfortable, like Paul and Silas in the stocks in Acts chapter 16, hey, we might see those that are despitefully using us, like the jailer, come to faith in Jesus with his whole family. And he was not a very nice guy who didn't treat Paul and Silas very well, didn't come down and say, hey, can I get you a little cup of tea or can they give you a drink of water? He probably just totally ignored them until all of a sudden he realized he was suicide because he thought that all the prisoners escaped. And that Paul and Silas said, hey, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. Because what did he do? He showed love to somebody who was really nasty to him. And then he came to faith. And we thank you that his whole family came to faith in Acts chapter 16. We thank you, Lord, just to believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved in your household. And there's some members of our families that still are in the wings. Some of them have got their toe over the threshold. Some of them say they're Christians. Whether they are or not, God knows their hearts. I don't know my own heart perfectly, but he knows my heart. He knows each one of our hearts. Father, help them all, Lord, and deliver some of the so-called, all of us, from the plans of the enemy, whether it comes from China, whether it comes from the New World Order agenda, from the likes of the Rockefellers or whoever. They're not so much in it as the Rothschilds and Soros and that group, Father. And all their little pawns. It isn't Biden. He's just a pawn, a puppet. But Father God, they're using him and they're using others. And they're all, even those that we think are fairly high up, they're not that high up. Father God, we ask you, Father God, deliver us from all these people that have bowed the knees to Satan, Father, in Jesus' name. And you said, call upon me the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. And we thank you for delivering us. And you said, and this is something you can never, ever, ever lie. All your promises are yes and amen. And I don't think I fully appreciate what you're promising us in Matthew 18:19. We're quoting it every day in the prayer room. Most of us are anyway. But you said, again, this is Jesus speaking. He can never lie. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus can't lie. Father God can't lie. The Godhead is true. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Father God is true. And the Holy Ghost, he's there to help us. He's there to encourage us. He's there to pray through us and intercede even for our physical needs. That quickening spirit that quickens our mortal bodies. And we thank you for helping us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds that we can know what you want us to do. And we thank you, Father God, for the things you've begun. We thank you, Father God, for the people in the different states that are waking up. Thank you, Lord, for people waking up politically and people saying, wait a minute. I saw some young man say, wait a minute, I voted for Biden. Where's my check? Why is he spending my money bombing Syria? That was a very interesting little quote from a young man. He just figured he's going to vote for Biden because Biden's going to give him money. Well, didn't Trump give him money too? Anyway, we don't do these things for money, do we? Or do we? So, Father God, help us all to examine our own hearts and deliver all of us from the so-called China agenda. Did some people in authority take bribes, kickbacks, outright payments from the people in China? They reported that many of them have. I don't know. I haven't seen the paperwork myself, but I've seen a lot of things that say, yeah, this is really did happen. There's a lot of stuff on Hunter's laptop, and they're not making it up. It's just, of course, the mainstream media is quick, brush it under the rug. Father, we ask you to bring everything out into the light, Father God, that the enemy's been trying to do and trying to hide it. We thank you, Father God, for the people, not only in Arizona, it was in Michigan, in different states, Father, and in Georgia, too, praise the Lord, that are changing their election laws. They want voter ID. They don't want to have a repeat of the nonsense. Father, we ask you to raise up people in Pennsylvania and other nations, Michigan. I think you're raising them up in Michigan, too. that are actually going to the state legislatures, hey, we're not going to put up with this nonsense anymore. We're not going to be living in lockdown forever. We're not going to be living where all the family businesses that people have built up for their whole lives are being destroyed because there's some little person put in there by a demon that wants to destroy them because the so-called coronavirus is 99.7% chance of people recovering from it globally, or at least if that's what I've heard anyway. If that did nothing, just take a little bit of vitamin D and maybe even have a greater chance of surviving. People don't have to run off and get things that are unhealthy for them, Father. We ask you to inspire people by your spirit, Father God, to have some discernment, Father God, and say, wait a minute, this vaccine, they're not guaranteeing me immunity. They're saying it might lessen the symptoms. Oh, and there's going to be new variants, and they're going to have to come out with new vaccines. Father God, deliver us from every one of these ungodly spirits trying to push things. There's really just a money laundering, a money scheme, Father God, to kill, steal, and or destroy. Delivering us from the agenda of the Kunumkutamaka, the agenda Pat Holiday warned us about many, many years ago from the Kunumkutamaka, what is that called? The thing in Georgia, the Georgia Guidestones, looked like Stonehenge a little bit, but that so-called Christian, quote-unquote Christian, wasn't Christian. No, people don't really know who it is, maybe somebody does. But they put their agenda on there, and their agenda is to thin out the population dramatically, which is why they were so upset that Hillary didn't get in, so they could start World War III in a hurry. They're trying to start it again. Father God, we ask you to deliver us from every one of these spirits of Zeus, stealing, killing, and destroying, not just from China, not just from the saber rattling, from the people trying to get somebody in North Korea to do something stupid, the people in China with their very big navy, in the South China Sea, and trying to say, ooh, we're going to go to Taiwan. Is Biden administration going to do anything? I don't even know if the Biden administration has the ability, wherewithal to do anything. I don't know about that, Lord, but you know everything. You know what's going on. Father, we ask you to wake up the sleeping giant. Wake up the body of Christ. Pat Holiday was not joking when she said she knew about a man who had a profound vision, was that open vision or a dream, whatever it was, that there is going to be one last huge, tremendous revival in Jesus' name. It's not going to last long, she said, but it's going to be a wonderful revival. Many, many millions, multitudes coming into the body of Christ. Many, many people. And now we see why people would want to do that when things are a mess and with the people flooding across the southern border and all the nasty things that are being done to debase the currency. Nasty, nasty things being done to serve Satan. Father, we ask you to deliver us from all these nasty things, from the people that have allowed the false election results to just stand, even though there's no basis for them. More than 200,000 people voted in Pennsylvania that didn't live there, that aren't even registered voters. Well, how absolutely absurd is this? Father God, we ask you to deliver us and bring everything out into the light, Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for doing so. We thank you, Father. Say to you and all your underlings remain perpetually bound in Jesus' name. And Jesus says in Matthew 10:26, Jesus speaking, fear them not, therefore, for there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Lord, you know everything that's going on. You know how many hairs are on everybody's head, not just Sabrina's head and my head, everybody's head. You know what we're all thinking every minute and why we're thinking, even when we're asleep, including Kay Harris and all these different people, Father God. And we ask you, Father God, for your help for each one that can be saved. Khrushchev apparently repented, according to Pat Holiday, before he left this world, Father God, in Jesus' name. He was kind of like a Saul of Tarsus thing. They came to became Paul. He thought, Saul of Tarsus thought he was doing great things for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob until he found out, oops, he blew it. He blew it. So, Father God, ask you to cause many, including the Jewish people, to remove the veil from their heart, Lord. Cause many people, Father God, to be delivered. And all the children, deliver all the children, Father God. The children that have been sacrificed in many different ways, not just from abortion. Forgive us, Father, for all the sins of our ancestors, our personal sins and apathy. Deliver the body of Christ from apathy, Father God. Show me what you want me to do. Show each of us what you want us to do and help us to do it as wise as servant and harmless as doves in the way you want, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father God. We say, well, everybody lives around me. They all think Biden's fabulous. Maybe some of them are beginning to question that now. And we've heard different people's reports that when enough people and his popularity, I heard recently that YouTube will not allow people to put dislikes following Biden's little speeches or whatever. Apparently he had just over 4,000 people listen to this thing about this new infrastructure bill, which is not for infrastructure at all. It's just part of their global agenda to steal, kill, and destroy. that was a very, very small percentage of it actually used for infrastructure. They even want to permanently cap the wells. Isn't that interesting? In dark, cold winter, they want to cap the source of the energy. They want to make us totally dependent on, you know, Russia and Saudi Arabia and all these other places. Many people are waking up saying, well, we don't think to do with this. This is ridiculous. They're destroying my livelihood. They're destroying what I, he said he was going to let the children go back to school. Are the public schools open? I don't think so yet. But the people are waking up, Father. That's the people not only wake up politically, they'll wake up spiritually, wake up to the true and living God who really genuinely does love them, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
every bond on earth is bound in our forsaken you remain permanently, perpetually bound in all your underlings, including every spirit of darkness. In Jesus' name. God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. In Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. In Jesus' name.